Arauca, cit party insurance.
That's why, because you're far from the mic, boy.
Oh, sorry.
No, you can pull the mic towards it. That's why I buy the stand.
Yeah. That's
what done. You don't know how to use that stand.
Sorry, no. What happened is I had some old cars, so I take party insurance. So I take it from an insurance company of the West Indies, which was Great Northern Insurance at that point in time.
All right.
But then I got the Sun car now, so I was like, all right, cool. I might just feel that now. I should get some big people insurance, like Tassel or something. So then I tell them, well, all right, cool. I just want to transfer my third party and I want to discontinue this insurance.
Yeah, this is like, good.
But like, you know, insurance agencies, like, they're not letting that happen. They're like, all right, yeah, so what are you giving you? We could give you something better. So then I was like, nah, it's not about a... There's like, so what they're saying, like, Tassel better than us. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, kind of. Yeah. Like, no, well, they're not better than us. Tell us what they're giving you. So then, they give
that
me.
That was the exact words, eh?
Yeah, they give me their rate, and I was like, yeah, it's still kind of better than that. And then they was like, all right, cool. Well, hold on here. We'll hold on here. And I know you'll come back now. You know, you might need some kind of thing.
I witness this. This is a real thing.
Yeah, it's like, you need, like, house insurance. I know you'll be coming back. Or like boot insurance or some kind of thing. You must come back. So it's like, all right, cool. All right. Let's get us.
No claim discount.
Right. Yeah. I was like, all right, just give me this. No claim discount. Thank you for your time and whatever. And yeah.
I think she repeated when he was leaving.
You tell me this enough. I feel like I heard this.
Yeah, story. No, she was real hostile.
Yeah, when is it though? She repeated. Don't worry, you'll come back.
Yeah, but.
No, like there's a threat or?
Kinda. It sounds like a threat, but it's like, fucking, you see you, boy.
You come back, I go see you again.
Yeah. It's like almost like
when they treated you good, you can see.
Yeah,
so fucking good for you.
You're gonna get a bad accident in your future.
It might be,
and like you ain't gonna get nothing from Tattle.
Oh, Tattle, because that is where people is people. We people, yeah, too, you know. People.
We had to eat. I feel my family know how to eat.
It kind of sound like she was going to ambonks him.
Way.
And even be like, eh, who you insured with? No, you cunt. DJ Bowman, Nacho Man, Danielle, fight. DJ Bowman.
Nacho Man, Danielle, fight. It happened, yeah. we had to
bring into this fet, like, Sleepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe
is a man, he'll know about this.
He'll know about this.
As if he was there.
But then we will end up with a 6-hour podcast.
True. Yeah. But it'll be interesting and people will listen.
Hopefully.
So,
what about, we next partner?
Jayshir Ram Krishna Jindaki Jay.
Nah, so... What we're going to unbox here is Pisco from Chile. What Pisco is basically distilled grape juice. So kind of like rum, but rum is from sugarcane. This one is actually from like fermented grape juice. So some different flavors. And this particular one is aged Mistral Gran Nobel for those who want to check it out. So, all right, let's see what it looks like and what it tastes like. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
you get this lovely color on the camera.
Very fancy box in here.
Suppose it opens from the top, yeah.
It opens from the top, yeah. Alright, so let's see.
Take more protected than your red house.
Nice.
What?
So this is the action, yeah. Nice bottle. Pisco is made in both Peru and Chile. Well, those are the two countries that make it. They have different processes in terms of how they actually make it. Can't really recall what those are, what the differences are now, but it's distinct and it affects like the flavors and stuff like that. But all right, so we're gonna dive in and check out what this is about, yeah, and maybe
wait for me.
Surely, try to figure out what's the difference between this and like rum.
Surely by dive in you mean drink it. Should we try it straight?
Nah, first? Straight. We could go straight up first because I tried it straight and it was smooth.
All right.
Smooth like road before Wasa gets it.
Howdy, wow. Bop. It's a poppy coffee. If we get a coconut. Yeah.
That's a nice sound.
Yeah.
Always a good sound.
A nice color to that one.
Can you hit me up, sir?
Alright.
So
thank you. Or as they say in Spanish, ill, thank you.
Sounds like a bunch of ill filth.
Oh, yeah.
Ho!
Alright.
Ooh, that smells wonderful. What is that?
Wow, that's a...
What is that smell? It's nice, like you could make air freshener out of this.
What is that smell?
Kind of...
spicy.
Yeah.
Black pepper.
Yeah.
Clove.
Ooh. That kind of flowery, but like kind of potpourri, kind of...
Yeah, I get
like
that.
A lot
of
that. Like a very spicy kind of aroma.
It's like when...
Wait, this is probably one of the best smelling alcohols
like
I've ever smelled.
This is like your grandmother bacon fruitcake, but then
it's so spicy. Like it's so spicy.
I mean, I can just smell this all day and not drink it.
I feel this way even need to air out. This is one, like, usually when we pour out, like, scotch or rum or anything like that, we usually try to, like, air it out because it's just be so intense. But, like, this smell is so nice.
But actually, if you do some light nosing, you kind of get that kind of cognac. Or whatever.
But with a nose your size, is it really light?
What about your face?
This thing just real sweet.
How would it taste this, though?
Huh?
How would it taste it?
Yeah.
Well, that's
we should go ahead and do that then.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Let's.
Everybody's speechless now.
Still early. Interesting flavor.
Well, I never taste something like it before.
Exactly. Because it's...
So I don't know what to compare.
Right? Not sure what to expect going in there. I'm still sticking to like this black pepper spicy kind of thing, but still getting some flavor of vanilla.
Again, like when you smell a rose, how you picture it will taste again that.
No, I understand what you're saying. Because like you're picking up like the smell more. Because the taste not really matching with the scent. Because you would expect it to taste like a little sweeter. But like it a little more bland than you would probably expect it to be smelling that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still find... You get that spicy flavor coming out from the smell to the taste.
Yeah.
Fresh cracked black pepper is what... I'll bring my black pepper if you want to smell it. But that's what I get in. But like, this might go good on a steak, to be honest.
What?
I'm not really getting that spice too much. I am getting a lot of sweetness, but mellow sweetness.
Yeah.
Like... It's not tasting what it smells like.
The sweetness more like on the fragrance. Like, kind of like, you know, it tastes on the tongue, pussy.
Yeah, because I feel like when I exhale right now, I could feel and smell more flavor than I drank.
I just didn't know what to expect. But this is a very interesting.
It's interesting.
And this is made from grapes, right?
From grapes, yeah. Yeah.
I think you could get that, like, that little cognac flavor in here. You get what? The texture of it kind of reminds me of what that cognac would.
Cognac, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the color as well.
Yeah.
This is what this podcast is about, keeping it real. So.
What is this podcast?
Actually, it is.
We don't know.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, that's what you all have to figure out.
But anyway, we brought this fine beverage.
All the way from Chile.
All the way from Chile for you guys so that you know.
What are we drinking?
So you can live vicariously through us.
Which we have very poorly described.
There's much more than rum and scotch.
Surely if you Google it though, someone will have a better description.
Yeah, we highly recommend that you YouTube this.
Alright.
Beauty is in the mouth of the
taster.
Holder.
Hold on. But
I want some ices.
Nah, this could go so well.
It's smooth. It's smooth.
I might be drunk.
Yeah. No, apparently, like,
is that Talisker? It goes your blood real fast.
It's like Chile because of the geography and like they bordered by the Andes and
I was not
going
to ask if you're not going to utilize the headphones.
Pacific Ocean. They're sort of like well shielded from like a lot of things. So like at some point in time, there were like a bunch of diseases for like
some direct feedback.
Wine vines across Europe and stuff like that.
For you to adjust.
But like Chile wasn't affected by it because they were so isolated. So.
Okay. Were they isolated from the world economic crisis?
No. I don't think it could be isolated from that. But probably definitely coronavirus. They might be isolated. But there's like a.
I don't think so.
That's cool. Let's talk about this coronavirus.
Yeah, looking excited is not about beer, unfortunately.
I don't really know that much about it, right? Like, I wasn't for that. Like, I know it's like originated in China or something like that. It's like the next SARS or H1N1 or whatever.
I think it's closer to SARS.
Yeah,
the H1N1 is a flu. I think with the H's and the N's is flus. Yeah. This is something different.
So it actually is more similar to SARS and...
Oh, you know people in the medical profession, yeah.
It is. Yeah. Also, I watch a lot of news about...
Right.
About coronavirus. So, similar to SARS in that it was more likely contracted from an animal source. And as is common in China, they have a lot of these markets where you have a lot of live animals. Caged together in close proximity to humans. So, it's not out of the question that, you know, viruses could be transmitted from animal to human or adapt and then be transferred from animal to human and then come up and have their own variation or their own strain. And that's how we get viruses in 2020.
Right. We also get from unprotected sex.
Yeah.
But not as much as before. I mean, yes.
You still get it. You just don't die from it. As easily.
As if you're talking about HIV, but you have other stuff you could get.
Oh.
That worse than HIV.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard somebody dying from HIV?
But like syphilis and anything, that's viruses or that's diseases. What's the difference?
I'm not a real doctor. You should probably.
But you know some.
Syphilis might be a virus.
You seem very curious about this topic. Yeah.
No. I never had syphilis before. Or...
You want? I mean, I could make a call for
you. Could give it?
I do have. I mean,
we'll give him some syphilis.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure what we're going with this.
Syphilis is actually bacterial, apparently.
Bacterial. Yeah, that's why you can take like penicillin or something and fix it.
Yeah, antibacterial.
Yeah.
And antibiotic.
Antibiotics. So they're good for that.
That's if the antibiotic will work though. Because you know you take so many of them that your body probably used to everything by now. Your variation.
Wait, talking about my body in particular?
I feel like we knew our podcast in so long. I can't even remember this man alias. Like, what do we call this man again?
He's the Nacho Man.
Oh.
What was your tagline?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Nacho Man.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Daniel.
Yeah, no, serious. Like, it's been
nobody
like,
asked,
so long.
But I'm DJ Ballhead. Apparently.
Nobody asked you.
Everybody knew. I mean, it's kind of obvious looking at you that you are DJ Ballhead.
Actually, they're kind of looking a bit fuzzy right now.
It could
be a little cleaner.
Yeah.
Our partner, vaginal chafing would disagree.
I think I know who this is, but... Yeah.
Like a household pet?
Like he's clean shaven. And
I don't know who this is.
He's a guy who doesn't like to be on the show.
Yeah, he's an instrument that you hammer things with.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I know this guy. Recently.
Right.
I don't even know why we have these stupid aliases. Why do we use aliases?
Because we don't want people to know who we are when we say things like Chile.
I think we said worse things than that. I think it's just a kind of not restrict. Like, the way we speak or what we say.
Yeah, well, hear this. Yeah. Both of you all have very distinct voices. Like, I think it would be very... People who listen or would have spoken to you before could easily identify your voices just based on the tone of your voice, the vocal characteristics, and the way you all speak, like the nonsense that you tend to say, Nacho Man. It's very characteristic and easily identifiable.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you guys who are listening want to share this with your friends and make that a game for your friends to figure out who these guys are with the distinct voices, then feel free and share it far and wide.
I think it's just like legal implications, right? So like if somebody want to like bring up something that like you say is like, how exactly you know it's me? Maybe
I'll make it easier for you guys. I am not Louise Hart.
Shit. Wait, this podcast will pop down now, because I thought we would get like a lot of followers because I thought he was Louis Hart.
Actually, folks, he might be Louis Hart.
It might be Louis Hart.
His mind is as filthy as Louis Hart. Yeah. If you don't know who Louis Hart is, well, I don't know.
Better for you.
Yeah, I mean.
No, he was very entertaining. He was very I think he was very relevant.
Is he's still on the
station? In exposure to music.
Ah, yeah.
In the 90s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I learned a lot about music from him and Jean-Paul Roach and Emmett Hennessy with his top 100 Billboard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What back in the 90s when music
the guy named
was good.
Morning,
Jean Bruce? Jared
nah,
Butts.
Not
Jean Bruce.
Jared
nah,
Butts.
It was the morning show.
Richard Graham.
Richard Graham, the big dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Big dog.
He was like mid-morning though. I talk more early morning. Sorry.
Nah, he was morning.
I feel he had that morning stint.
He was morning, yeah. Richard Graham.
Yeah, it was mid-morning though.
Yeah. You know, a few years back, I met Richard Graham, right? I was sitting down at the table. We didn't go to see our band play.
You call him Big Dog or?
No, I don't know who it was, right? Oh, so right. I sat down there and Sean Youngwing was there, right? So I went to say hello to Sean. And they had a bottle of white oak. Mm-hmm. Just two of them on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean is like, hey, you want an X drink? So the guy who on the table, I don't know who he is because I never saw his face before. I was like, okay, I'll have one more. So I say, okay, cool. This guy sounds kind of familiar. So we start talking.
Yeah. Right?
So we were just talking and Sean went to get Chaser or something and come back. And no, sorry, Richard left. And then he came back and he's like, oh, so I suppose you told him who I am. Because I don't know if there's something you're supposed to do.
Wait. Right,
so
yeah,
I was like, no. Who are you, sir? Like, I'm Richard Graham.
Well, I like Richard Graham because he used to play decent music.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the other shitongs. That's when 95 was the main radio station.
That's when video killed the radio star.
Not so much. But then that's when 95 took a hard turn from mostly rock music to pop. Like pop and, you know.
Yeah.
They tried to become like local mainstream to compete.
Yeah.
And then 93.5.
Yeah.
When they didn't really need to compete because it wasn't really much of a competition in that sense. And they became very poppy. And they used to play everything else. It was like equivalent to MTV just doing reality shows.
Yeah. And then their radio announcers started to talk more. So you'll get like equal talking and music before a break.
So it was like the inverse of 97.1 then. More talk, less music.
Way.
Yes. That's how it works. But yeah.
Okay. Well, as a famous band said, you know, talk about pop music.
It wasn't the best segment.
Oh, all right, yeah. Man, I was kind of holding on to it though, so I just kind of feel like I had to drop it. I'm just kind of waiting. Like I should have waited a little longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes when you know you should hold the pee.
Yeah, I know. But it was like right there now. It was like diarrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just had to unleash it on
us. Unleash it on you will. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
I just want to continue anything about this epidemic situation that the media.
We're not talking about pop music.
We talk about viruses and death.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
like everybody all up in arms about this because it's a new virus, right?
Right.
So there's no treatment, there's no antibody, you know, anything. But there was something like 27 deaths globally so far.
Right.
The virus here in Trinidad and Tobago, am I allowed to say Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah.
Okay. The virus here in Trinidad and Tobago, the flu.
Regular flu.
Last year.
Kill more people.
Well, no, in a small country, with a smaller population.
What was the time frame?
No, my disappointment in this virus is, and all the other virus.
Disappointed in the virus.
Is basically that it will never kill enough people to save planet Earth. So, what we need is like a virus of like very catastrophic proportions. Like an epidemic of sorts, Black Plague.
You see, there's a man after my true heart. I just don't want to say these things because last time I did, people thought I was totally serious. I mean, I was partially serious, but.
Yeah.
People thought I should not have been saying these things. Actually, I was saying to some people that maybe Thanos was misunderstood.
Yeah.
And he probably had a bigger view. Like, maybe a bit more foresight than most people. And maybe by eliminating half of the Earth population might necessarily be a bad thing, right?
What about if the Earth population consumed 50% less? And
no, but how is that possible?
50% less waste.
Yeah, but you're still have all these stupid people.
Humans is fucking idiots for us, and it's like true. They're just stupid. By like,
could we kill the very stupid ones? Then, if you look at the countries that created the highest carbon footprint, one and two, look at the countries that created the highest carbon footprint before and transferred their production to other countries.
Yeah,
and
but what,
about the USA,
what if they are the ones like, yeah, cool, yeah, making all the money and have the only political power and all that kind of military power and that kind of thing.
But does it think the virus is random, just like Thanos? It's random. It shouldn't affect random people.
And then the next thing is you have to remember problem.
It should just like what? Nah, but the thing is like it's highly unlikely that you'll have something like very specific that is going to kill certain people now. Like, yes. You have to do it what you have. No, but it's a virus dread. You have to do it what you have dread.
Yeah, but you have to also remember that not everybody will be affected by the virus equally. Some people will be able to mount an immune response.
Right.
Like, you know, watch Contagion.
You're right.
Matt Damon.
Not everybody going to die. Yeah.
So, like, some people will just be okay with it. And once you could have antibodies being formed, then you can basically create
a vaccine. I just watch Our Planet again, and I feel like real shit, but as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after what's David... That? David Attenborough tell us like all the fucking shit that we fucking doing and killing all the other animals.
Did you ever consider offering yourself to fix the problem?
No, not really.
And then I the problem. With a random virus or with Thanos snap, you could be one.
If Planet Earth kill me,
nobody gonna say I will be the one.
No, if Planet Earth kill me, like I won't be vexed. I mean,
well,
say
you look fit.
I look fit. Like, yeah,
that's fair.
But you see, you know, I use like single use plastic. I look fit.
The difference between you and other people, though, is that you actually recognize that you're doing shit now. Right?
And you're probably... The man just says he's using single use, boy. He's like Greta.
Listen. Like,
all right, but what would influence you to be more environmentally conscious? Like, all right, like, let me say about, like, a basement, right? So you will do certain things. You will not litter, first of all, right? You have enough sense not to litter. I just realize that because some people do have this sense to not litter.
Right.
And when we have a massive bout of flooding, like, oh, the government didn't do this.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not about littering now. So, like,
I'm just saying being, like, environmentally conscious of issues.
You see, you could do your part. You could not litter. You could put your stuff in a bin. Still ends up in a landfill.
Right.
Like, nothing is being recycled.
But it's
still a problem now. You still have, like, a waste problem as a result. It's just that, like, your surroundings clean, but at the end of the day, like, the waste going somewhere,
right?
Like in the ocean or a landfill, and stuff seeping into the ground and contaminating your groundwater and all that kind of thing.
But again, you still have some level of awareness of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not be able to change the situation directly, but you know.
No, but
if you have enough people thinking like that,
and
thinking high up, and like, you know, people in power and so on who can make changes, it might be easier to get on board with that, or at least have a more responsible approach to dealing with like that kind of stuff, and say, you know, let's do these things because, you know, it's better. But
yeah.
I think the typical Trinidadian response is that we are gonna be proactive about our problem until it's right in your face. About to kill you.
And it's not affecting you today.
Yeah.
It'll affect somebody tomorrow and that's not your problem.
But we do have to think long too, man. That's part of the problem in Trinidad. You know?
Yeah. I think it's not only Trinidad.
There's a problem in humanity.
Exactly.
Probably, because with Trinidad, we have a problem. You started with literally. It started good there. Because if you look at the floods and you look at what's coming up in the water, is plastic bottles.
Yeah.
Right? So to begin with, people not only not carrying their bottles for recycling, which is not single-use plastic, they're just literally dumping it indiscriminately on the streets and in the rivers. That's a short-term thing.
Right.
Then Daniel here was talking about people who... No, he was saying, but it still goes into a bin. It still goes somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem we have with more developed countries.
Yeah.
Like the US and the UK. They could dress it up and say... We so, you know, environmentally conscious, like there's no litter on our road, we don't do anything. But they consume the most in the world, right? And that's we're just talking about disposable plastic here.
Yeah.
Meat production, right? That cattle farming causes more deforestation.
Let me interject here.
Yeah.
Than palm oil.
Where would be the most populated countries like China and India in this picture? Because meat consumption in China is very high.
Based on share... population,
right?
My view on per capita consumption.
Like my view on that is like timing, right? So like in the past, right, all the developed countries now would have reached that developed status by industrialization, and you know, like their agricultural prowess and whatever, and building upon all those things, right? So they had a lot of contribution to pollution of the world back then. Then they were able to utilize all those, that income earned, to then move on to like non-renewables and to like better, more optimal processes. But now when you look at India and China, they are former colonial countries, right? That were ruled by England and maybe not China so much, but
India for sure.
India for sure, right? So they were sort of held back because, I mean, all their production, I think, was for the benefit of the imperial power and that kind of thing, right? So they were set back.
Right.
So they now reached the point where...
industrial revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not happening. And similar with China, like, they now have an industrial revolution.
Right.
So now that the developer has cleaned up, it's easy to point a finger now and say, hey, like, they are responsible for all the pollution. But, like, think about all the years they were polluting... while they were going through their industrial revolution.
So they're not giving everybody else a chance to catch up, basically.
We in this point now, largely because of them. Because it's only recently China and India have started their sort of industrial revolution of their own.
Right.
And started polluting. I mean, the volumes are bigger because they are a lot bigger countries that having that sort of impact now and is really compounding the effects that already took place. But you had to look at that. So, in my opinion, to like fix this, the people who benefited from the past should be probably contributing to the issue now.
I want to add something there. The production that's taking place right now is still for the benefit of the developed world. It's for consumption in the US and the UK and Europe, the countries that have disposable income to buy things and dispose of them as they see fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The consumption is not taking place in the countries where the production is taking place.
And there's the whole trend of like consumerism and everybody need to have this.
And this is why I go back to, could we just consume 50% less? Could everybody please do that?
Yeah, but it's like, what is the process for that to happen when everybody just need to have things right now because you need to floss on Instagram now?
Well, in that case, I guess we need a virus to kill everybody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, biology, like there's no consciousness like about it now. There's no like thinking about it. It's like something mutated and then it's gonna wipe out like a bunch of people. So like that's like our best case scenario.
But what about if what comes after humanity is Planet of the Apes?
Humans what happened, you know? Humans will survive. Look at like where we are right now. Like, I mean, humans in this form, I mean, probably in the scale of things, it's probably not a long time, but we've been around with cognitive abilities and stuff like that for like a long period of time, and no other organism has evolved to really exhibit any of the characteristics that we have in terms of being able to think through stuff and communicate and that kind of thing. So like, it's hard to believe that, like, I don't know, like, over what time will that happen now? Or maybe humans evolved at this point out of sheer luck or something.
Human evolution is one thing, but the fact that we could communicate better, the ability to speak and speak different languages, and this opposable thumb are fortunate mutations.
But that's the thing. So like, how long does it take for a fortunate mutation for some other organism to reach up our level? So, but...
Yeah, but I mean, we're still thousands of years upon everybody else. Maybe except viruses.
But as Bolet was saying earlier, is like, not all humans will be affected. Like, there will be a lot of humans who will be able to overcome the virus and still...
But you see, the other thing is what you probably will lose some good people in that, you know, being affected by a virus. So because you're not guaranteed that people who are going to be wiped out by a virus will be, you know, criminals and scum of society. You probably could use, like, you know, lose good, you know, scientists, you know, people who have potential to, you know, change the world and that kind of sense. A virus mightn't really be the best system because you can't target it, but what criteria want to use to target
listen, I don't think we're talking about like eliminating the people in the population. We're just saying that there is a virus.
Yeah, but
there is a possibility. But it's not like if we're looking for like the best way but or
see,
medium
you see
for
that's a positive check
on the population, like a Malthusian.
I just say, but you're kind of just taking up the population at random, not necessarily.
But as you only
be a bit, suppose there's a virus takes out like 90% of the educated people of the world, right? No, it just happens a bunch of dumbasses. You mean?
Yeah. Like,
what is the point of that? That's not.
It doesn't really matter, to but because the thing
suppose
is, like,
suppose a virus kill all the bands in the world and we remain with Nickelback. How you like fuck. That? You know, and that's the
but
challenge
you see,
of being
but
random.
Luckily, we have the ability to store information, and it's not in like clay tablets or like parchments or something. We have like a lot of data stored now, so we're not starting from scratch.
Right.
So even though it's like stupid people or whatever, like remain, they will still be able to benefit from this knowledge and
no,
build on it.
No, some stupid people don't realize how stupid they are, and they have no intention of doing anything differently.
Nah, you see, it's different from like that point in time where we had like the church standing in the way of science and kind of like destroying or like not bringing to the fore or demonizing scientists and that sort of thing, where like no progression was being made. Now is a disease in this scenario. So I still think like it will still have some smart people. I can't believe that like all the smart people have real poor genes and immune systems such that they'll be eradicated. Like it will still have some smart people who could then build back from the
but
knowledge base that exists
about
now.
Pure randomness.
It's just random, but like in randomness.
You can't
like,
expect randomness to also be fair and leave an even amount of everything.
No, it won't be even, but it'll just have some now. Like, it'll still have some. Like, being random is probably our best case scenario, because then you'll have like a spattering of everybody.
Check what's going on with these viruses. These viruses would eliminate the people who don't have access to healthcare, access the poor, malnourished, not healthy people in the world. And those are people who consume less and take less from the planet.
Not necessarily. What about the people who consume all the fast food and like obese?
Those same
like,
people have better access to healthcare.
You would think so, but in the US, you had to pay for healthcare. You had to have insurance. Something. So,
true.
Yeah. So
but
not
the, UK, the UK and Europe will get away.
Yeah, and Canada.
And Canada. Yeah,
but like it's not necessarily the case. See, I think, you see, US is often seen as like a real developed countries, but like a lot of people like living in poverty and
they are
working poor and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
they can't afford healthcare.
Just last week I was listening to Bruce Springsteen. I know what we're on there, right?
Right, yeah.
But, and that's also, and it's a side note, that's also why it's easy for them to build such a big, strong military, because people want opportunities. They want to get out of the one town that they never left.
Yeah,
they want education. They want all the good things that come with joining the military, and they're good benefits. That's also why it's not a problem for the U.S. to build an army, because of desperation, because of people wanting to become better.
I'll have some more pisco, sir. I'll take a piece of that.
Okay, so you're just taking a pause to
top up
on this pisco, which apparently makes for good conversation.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Botron. Wow.
Now, ever since I like read like Malthus and like positive checks, I think that just resonated with me and kind of makes sense to me, Dred. Like, I mean, if you really look at it, the world population is growing at a rate that we simply can't support that in terms of food or resources and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, in its current state, but can it be? Can we do what Nacho Man is saying and reduce consumption to support the rest of? But then you have like a lot of
the
social divide and who could afford what. And
the thing is, like, if you look at like the wealth distribution, probably have enough wealth and resources in this world to like feed and make everybody decent enough, like well
we
off enough,
do
right?
We would have enough resources to feed everybody.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, we work with a capitalist system and that deals with, like, the concentration of wealth, right?
Mm.
So I think it's going to be beneficial just to have, like, less people in the world. Like, I think we're reaching the point where, like, the carrying capacity of the world is being exceeded. So
I don't think so.
But
again,
with a virus, there's no guarantee that we'll have
we have
less greedy people in the world.
I don't know. It's just less people.
The distribution probably not going to change. We have to remember, there's still a lot of land that is not occupied in the world, uncultivated, that could possibly be used for agriculture. So you have a lot of...
Yeah, but then you have to take down like rainforests and like...
Well, some parts. Or I'll just live in rainforests.
You are like places where animals live in. Like I think we need to recognize, I don't think anybody want to live in our world where it's just like humans, cattles, and chickens, and pigs. So like just animals.
Because then all oxygen will just come from palm oil plants.
Hey, what? You tell that to Elon Musk, because he going to reach Mars.
No, because like...
Yeah, he have a good idea there.
Yeah.
That's
one solution to your problem.
The most prominent plant in the world right now is freaking wheat. Think about that now. Like, because we did that to the planet. Like, we destroy forests and natural habitats.
For wheat.
Or whatever.
For wheat.
And it's what we're currently doing with palm production.
And then we freaking...
I saw the video.
So we do a lot for wheat. But now we need gluten-free products.
I was just going to say that.
Again, the consumption. We do not need gluten-free products.
Think about that, right? Like, so the most grown product, most grown freaking plant in the world is wheat.
So you think that's probably nature's revenge?
I don't know. I think it's just fucking shit for
time
like
for
most people who just want to like seem like, hey, this is like the new organic buy.
Because that's the thing.
This is like gluten-free. That's what's sexy.
Consumption has taken a turn where not consume more, but now consume better.
Consume better and consume
things that are more rare and artisanal, which will create that same that it happened with soya.
Vegetarianism, soya production.
I mean, you think that's just part of like that whole capitalist approach to it? Because people just want to sell you something, right?
Yeah.
So if you market something as being rare, hard to find, you know, better for you, then you're going to have a certain market who would be attracted to that type of product, you know.
I would like to see somebody in poverty who not like gluten, like tolerant.
Yeah, but then what?
No, celiac disease is a real thing.
I know. But like, it just seems to be a little more prevalent.
But gluten intolerance now. Right. I think that's just a convenient thing to make you a hipster. Be like, my body is so...
That's also a real thing. Some people just cannot tolerate gluten.
But like, I think there's a large
number of people. You have a hipster following who just be like, oh, I don't do gluten.
Exactly. So that's what I see now. Like you'll probably find like a higher incidence of gluten intolerance
among those affluent
people than say like people in poverty.
Yeah, you'll see that.
Because they're eating whatever, even if they're freaking gluten intolerant, they're just going to be eating. Even if they have celiac disease, what else are they going to eat?
True, yeah.
They'll eat like rice and flour.
But the funny thing is, how long has mankind been consuming wheat as a staple?
I think millennia long. Yeah, long. I think as bread has always been a staple, and in every country or culture in the world,
they have some variation of it.
Yeah. And gluten, the strain of wheat that contains gluten, was actually selectively bred because the products that come out of gluten last longer on the shelf.
Right.
The products with gluten.
With gluten, sorry.
Will last longer.
Last longer on shelves.
Really?
So, yeah. So, the gluten content of our wheat should be different. If anybody listening knows better, should be different if you find untouched, pure wheat. The commercial grade of wheat is built to have gluten to last better on the shelf.
I could believe that because like there's a similar story with respect to like tomatoes.
Right.
Like so the tomatoes that we get right now that you would probably get in Subway, these kind of big kind of tomatoes.
The salad tomatoes
that's like kind of pink inside.
Right.
And it has like a different kind of texture than say like a locally grown tomato. And it's perfectly round.
Yeah.
Like it's always big and round. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like if you go in the market, you see like a kind of oval shape or a wedge shape tomato.
Which is a delicious tomato. Perfect for making tomato choker if you're into that kind of thing.
They bred tomato to be like that, so it's easier to transport and it's going to last longer. So the walls are much thicker,
right,
so that it could stand up to being packed on top of each other in boxes so that it could transport easier. So that is how they bred tomatoes to be that way.
So basically it's like a commercial approach to tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, I can tell you, I like tomatoes.
Yeah.
Those tomatoes do not taste as good as the oval shape.
They don't. Like, they don't.
The like, oval they just, ones they lack have that like, kind of, they lack that flavor. That
it's wrong bland. It's, about. It's very bland.
Like a bland, sandy kind of tomato.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I would take our proper local grown tomato any day.
Yeah.
Especially with choker.
Yeah, you can't make choker without tomatoes.
You
can't do that.
It's such a simple dish and so delicious.
For all our international listeners, choker is a thing that's delicious.
That's very ambitious. Thank you. Have international.
So I don't know. I mean, I know all of our user is local.
Right, I'll try to define this as simply as I could. Right, choker is a West Indian dish. Let's say Indo-Caribbean in origin.
Yeah,
probably with roots in from India. Typically made with some kind of cooked or usually roasted vegetable, and mildly seasoned. Well, I shouldn't say mildly, but you add some basic stuff like onions and garlic. Maybe a little bit of,
it could be heavily seasoned too, like Mortani.
Yeah.
So they're seasoning.
So I guess, I think maybe a like roasted vegetable would be like the main part of
right.
it.
But it's like mushed. It's like,
It usually would be broken. Well, as you roast it, it'll break down to, let's say like a bit of a pasty kind of texture.
Yeah. Goes well with everything. Flatbread or roti,
roti.
It goes well
Sada
with
Sada roti is
Crix, which is our crackers. It goes well with just your finger and your mouth.
Wow.
Too much information there, or not true.
No, I was talking about food.
I don't know.
You just eat your choker in your bedroom.
That's a different kind of choker. That's a different kind of choker.
That's what she said. Hey.
Anyway.
We hip ha. Speaking of which. It's carnival.
Oh, yuck. That is
I think the interesting thing about carnival is the carnival mentality that pervades our own mentality. So I feel like a lot of that whole don't care or not worry about stuff is part of that carnival mentality. And I think last year was the first year I really played Juve. And I think I experienced firsthand what people are wanted so much. It's just like a complete utter freedom to do whatever the hell you want. No worry about anything else. No cares in your world. And people just want that. Like, even after those 2 days passed, they just want that throughout the year.
Yeah, I think it's like an escape. I mean, like, there's a lot of things happening in the country, like crime and like people getting laid off and the whole economic situation and that kind of thing.
So
and like you don't want to like ignore it, but like you want to maybe escape like for just like a brief period to just like enjoy life and feel like it's like a much better place than it is. Because like carnival is like the one thing that like you feel like people are actually together on something. Like you don't feel like there's any kind of disaggregation or like everybody seems to be like on the same page. Huh?
There's that and then like on the rare occasion every decade or so when
we win a World Cup.
Like rise out there too. Like it's just about that feeling good.
Yeah.
The way you want. Complete free up yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that issue? Do you think that it moves beyond carnival and people start living that way?
Yeah, I think they want that experience all the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a problem. But is that like carnival related, or is it that's just like the way the world is moving to where people just want to enjoy the now? And you know, you have a lot of people who living on credit. They want to live like the Joneses. They want to have a nice car, a nice house. So they have like mortgage loans. They want to have trips all over the place. And again, it's like just filling up like photos on their Instagram and they want to just be like that's other people and that kind of thing.
Mm. Well, I don't really have any details to support them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how, like what you're describing that way of like how that existed in, like let's say in the 80s compared to now.
Yeah.
You know, haven't have you know, taking a loan to purchase this and that and have the house and the car and all that. Like, I don't know how that differs or how that the goal of having all that differs then and now. Is it still the same?
I think the difference, and we don't have any data at the back, but I think the difference was that you would plan and you'll do it. It wouldn't be instant gratification.
And it's not because like somebody else is doing it that you feel like you have to do it. It's more exactly. Like you just want these things, so that's why you trying to acquire these things. I guess for your own benefit, maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
That's okay. Welcome home. Yeah. Welcome to your own home.
Welcome, A-Dog.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
She just got alias there.
Yeah, A-Dog. Yeah. Well, we can't use real names.
We could use that. We could use it. I don't know if she was about A-Dog.
I don't know if it's saying keep to mind.
At least it didn't say Adolf. So that would have been gassy.
Right, too?
Yeah. But also another positive check on the population in terms of like if you want to get rid of some people.
Virus? Back to the virus?
One.
We're going to have back.
Well, I think
we
listen.
Didn't cover that already.
Yeah.
I think right now in Trinidad, we don't even need a virus. We have enough crime. To support us.
It's like, well, like,
how live
so why is that not a positive check?
What, that the crime?
Yeah, the murder rate.
Small amounts, boy.
It's not enough.
Oh, you need more murder.
Small numbers. It's like, what is that number? Like 500 per year?
It's not enough. Yeah, but that's just crime. Why you're not factoring like natural deaths. Deaths due to disease.
Yeah, but I think the birth rate compensates for all that.
I don't know. I
think so.
We should probably get some stats.
Yeah, you should have numbers.
Although, I mean, I don't even have, like, good numbers. Like, everybody still say the population is, like, 1.3 million, like, since, like, 10 years ago.
What is now?
I have no idea. I think it probably is 1.4 or 1.5. I don't know. Maybe you'll see 1.3 when you look it up.
This year is census year, so we'll find out, well, by next year.
I mean, that's high ranking, man. Because in a well-known government official cat. Know these things?
No, no, no. But the updated census will take place this year. So we'll know next year.
1.328 million.
Yeah, but that's
2011
like,
census. Though.
I feel like in primary school there was like 1.3.
Actually, according to the 2019 revision, the rural population estimated at 1.389 million.
So like goes to 1.4.
1,389,843 people in 2018. Compared to only 646,000 in 1950. Well, that's interesting.
That was a long time ago, though. But what you should compare it to is like probably like 1990s or something, which I think it was like a 1.1, 1.2 or something. So like,
I remember at some point we used to say 1.1. I guess that's when I was in primary school. I started primary school in 1985.
Right, so that's 80s. Maybe 90s it was like 1.2.
Probably 1.2, yeah.
Right, but now like 1.3, like that's a very slow
Slow growth. So yeah. I think it's working.
Nah, but I don't think it's crime as a major.
It's not. It's that we stop seeing 7 children families.
Yeah.
Like we have the more. Because
children are fucking expensive, us.
That's the thing.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, but for some reason,
poor
right?
People just make a lot.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah, because exactly. You know,
I don't understand this, boy. Like, right because now, I stuck on one now, and I like one.
You
like,
your accent.
I ain't friggin' want to pay for next just, one of this.
Let me just clarify. You just say poor people just make.
More children.
All right. See how you. Bigger and small people. Are these generally more educated people who would realize the need or the relevance or the importance of, you know, creating like a proper childhood for these kids, or they just fucking, they just bullying on the place?
We're talking about creating a better childhood, and it's like how they're actually getting through this, or how do they take 7 children through school?
I think it's like,
it can't be proper. I think
it's like a culture. I think like in the past, where like, people are like a lot of children because maybe they own like farms or
land
and then people that work the land, so it's like it makes sense that like you would have a lot of children.
Imagine family lines back then, whole couple of hours, 7 of them fighting for land.
Wow.
Yeah. No, but I mean that's probably one of the reasons. another reason why people have like a lot of kids will be like if there's like a lot of disease or like a high mortality rate. You want to have as many kids as possible because you're not entirely sure like how many would actually make it to maturity. So,
to support the farm, you're basically producing your workforce then.
I guess, but like...
I don't think that was it. I mean...
No. I mean...
Back in the day. You had less contraception back then.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
But surely the pullout game was the same.
Yeah, but the thing is like...
Well, maybe. No, I think some men...
Children was a blessing.
Some men still just go through like, yeah.
Children was a blessing.
That's the next thing. That's a good point. That is a good point. They actually see like more children as a better thing.
That's the thing. Yeah.
You feel like, blessed or you could be a bit more blessed than Daniel?
No, I don't think I could be any more blessed. I feel like all the blessings was bestowed on me with one child. Like, I think
you reach max blessings with just one?
I feel this is only blessings that I could afford. I mean,
Lessons don't come cheap.
Yeah, but
and I don't even pay tithes, so.
But then, the thing is, I don't.
If you pay tithes, you might be able to handle more blessings.
I can't afford it.
I think that's how it's worked. Should pay off.
I can handle more blessings, but I just can't afford it.
Was it as expensive to have these blessings back in the day as now?
No. I think it's much more expensive now.
Yeah.
But it based on like it's like what you want for your child and probably what you can afford for your child, because now like the education of the child, like I mean, even if you look like now, like as a baby, right? Is like, all right, after you breastfeed, if you do the right thing, people who listening,
yeah,
do the right thing and breastfeed your children.
Please.
Alright?
You save money on formula.
It's not about saving money, it's like the best thing to do, like you know,
as a man who knows doctors,
these people who think that you know only poor people breastfeed and rich people have formula, that's not the case. Like breastfeeding is proven to be better for your child.
So what you're saying is breastfeeding
is the best.
Breast is the formula to success.
Breastfeeding is the healing of the nation.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Right?
Is that your vision 2020?
But anyway,
yes, and it's better than many other vision 2020.
After you progress beyond those breastfeeding years and your child is like 1 year old and 2 years old and stuff like that, right? Then you how to introduce formula, right? Formula is extremely expensive. Diapers are extremely expensive. So like I just wonder, like for like poor people like who have multiple children, right? How you afford it, not then when you get up to like education, like preschool, like to get into like a decent preschool. Yeah. Like, right now, I had to pay, like, about $6,000-$7,000 a term for decent preschool. That's probably more than I pay for my UE degree. So, like, certainly my master, I don't feel like I pay. My master's probably cost, like, about $10,000.
You get value for your money with a master's, though.
Yeah, nobody does appreciate econ. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. That it's very expensive now to actually raise a child and give them everything that like you would want to give them, so, like any best start for life.
Well, that was my point. So yeah. Maybe back in the 60s, it was much easier to just pump out six children because you could have, yeah, you know, yeah, it was that expensive. Dude, you create your workforce, so you have people to clean your house and
right,
you know, tidy animal but, and whatever.
But you're not thinking ahead to think that, all right, cool, I want to be able to send my child to like university. Or like have this education, or at least have like
no.
this set of funds to start a business, or like assets and that kind of thing.
Because back then it was like maintaining your same standard of living.
But exactly, and I think expectations were low. Expectations were low.
Yeah,
right. But was the general perception that every child should go to university back then?
I don't think that
everybody
was
big on education back then.
No, I don't think that was that thing.
You could have some level of school, and you go to work after that. A lot of people have that mentality. I think with only within recent times, like maybe say, it is and the focus became more on education. Have, you know, primary, secondary, tertiary education.
Right.
Have some like a degree.
Yeah.
As the way to go now.
Yeah, because maybe the focus then was more on like literacy or something like that. So like you would speak more in terms of education. Like
but
literacy.
Probably by, I think maybe people just figured, you know, if your children had education, they'd be more successful in life.
Yeah.
And I think that worked up to a point. And again, I have no data to support this, but I think it worked up to a point. But like, now we reach a stage where we're asking, like, is half of this even relevant anymore? Like, is it really necessary?
No, totally with you there. Totally with you there, because it's like...
So like, I think it hit like a peak at some point, maybe in the 90s. 2000s and then like we kind of going down the slope now.
Yeah, because now we pumping out more academically, we pumping out more lawyers and engineers than we need.
Right.
Yeah.
And these kids can't get jobs.
Yeah, because it was more.
So they actually would be better off if they were well, less qualified.
Yeah, even in trial, you have
or qualified differently. Like you have a few hundred wanted to do.
You have a few hundred doctors being pretty poor, right. And they can't get employment. So are we setting these kids up for failure, basically, yeah, by running them through the same old-time system?
My opinion is, somebody, yes. My opinion is work for everybody, yes, we set them up for failure.
But, like, the other thing, too, is that, like, now you finding more mobility between and among professions. So you could study one thing, we could end up in a totally different profession.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's, like, less of a focus on in terms of like the degree, and more in terms of like your ability to deal with people, your analytical skills, and stuff like that. Now, so now you have like a manager. Maybe you study management or project management, but you can equally move into like something like HR or something like that, because like what's important is that skill of management now, like like as opposed to like knowledge of like the particular area,
right? But
yeah,
but is all of that necessarily related like degree or training, or sometimes, or is it mostly like when it comes down to things like personality type and experience, life experience,
attitude and experience,
right? Yeah. And I don't really think you could learn those things. I mean, some of it could be learned, but
sometimes you can't
teach in school.
Yeah, but it's about exposure too. So like, all right, so like maybe social skills, like you don't learn that in a class in UV, but you learn that by being in the environment.
Yeah.
So it all depends on, like, it's all about the exposure to different environments, to different situations, and then you sort of build up that capacity over time. But like, if you just home or you're around like your community who you have like, and there's a lot of similar people around, then you don't change. You don't kind of evolve into that different person that you could be.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So that's basically some of life experiences then.
Yeah.
And the education system as it exists right now in Trinidad and Tobago will not allow children to do what they want, what they think they're inclined to do, and what they will actually have a passion to do for the rest of their life.
Why?
Because it's built on science, maths, English, engineering.
But is that IT,
what you think less emphasis on like arts,
on creative, on technical,
on
things that, like, I was watching a thing on YouTube. A guy was interviewing this little child who was selling tomatoes, I think, and was asking him like, "What going on with him? What going on with the subjects?" Right. I think he's like, "You go into one of the secondary schools, you just go to when you, like instead of you go to that one of the vocational schools or something." Yeah. So he was saying he doing different courses, he doing that kind of thing. He's not doing so good at technical drawing, I think, but he's not doing bad anything.
Right.
And he's selling his tomatoes, and then he don't end up like the fellas in the community.
Yeah.
And you know, have to turn to crime and that kind of thing. And they ask him what he want to do, and he's like, "Well, I really want to do." And this boy had to be like about maybe 13, 14,
mm-hmm. Is it about the dreadlocks and
with the yeah, braids.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he was like, "Well, I eventually want to open my own garage,
right?
And I want to have my own, you know, be a vehicle technician."
Yeah.
And that's cool, you know, but
he
fortunately, based on how our secondary entrance works, got to feel towards that. What about the kids who were too bright? This is what they want to do. Like this little boy wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he working towards that, and he gonna do that.
Cause like tech voc is seen as like, all right, if you're not smart, it's the field.
But if it's something you inclined to do and something you want to do and will excel at, you would know, you'll miss it, and you'll become somebody who graduates with your law degree and you can't get a job.
Exactly. And then you don't love that. And then you're just forced to do something that like you don't really like, and you're not in it.
Well, so that's the thing now, like, why would that choice of one to have your own garage be seen as having low ambition then? Because people say,
"No, but
that's what you want to do."
But I think it's societal pressure. That's probably like your parents and stuff like that. Because like your parents, depending on how they view things, right? They might think that you need to be like a doctor or lawyer because that's a better profession.
A foolish way of thinking of, because as a vehicle technician, you're providing a very relevant service that is in demand. But the next thing is, that's something he wants to do now. Like, he actually wants to do that. So why is there such a negative association between doing that and, you know,
but
like, aim, like, thinking that he's aiming low, but that's what he wants to do.
to me, I think it's a lot of parental pressure and societal pressure.
Well, actually, nobody said that was aiming low, you know. Yeah. But,
no, you're saying, society
would say,
yeah. I think society would think it's low. And, like, if your parents, like, invested in you and they're, like, paying for your education, they don't want to pay for you to become a mechanic. They want to pay for you to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. Because then they could brag to their peers.
Yeah, they could brag.
And be like, hey, yeah. like, my son is a doctor. No? Hey, my son is a doctor too.
But as you just said, right?
Yeah.
When you had a brag and they say, yeah, my son is a doctor. Yeah. And
but he has no work.
And they say, where are you working? And he say, well, he has no work right now.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, that even making any sense right
it
now?
It don't even matter. But, because, like, sometimes, like, for parents, like, they don't really care about the happiness of their children. They just want to be able to see, well, hey, they accomplished this.
All right. The happiness is one, right?
Yeah.
But let me say, like, the financial well-being of them too now. So.
Yeah, well, I guess they want to be able to brag about that as well.
Yeah, but then. Yeah. So, all right. So, what would you prefer? All right. So, like, as a parent, right? Would you prefer a child who, let me say, he do doctor.
Yeah.
And he live in your house and you basically still mind him at the age of 10, the age of 25. Or, let's say, he didn't go to university. He developed some small business.
Yeah.
You know, from then he was 80, 90 years old. And he's relatively successful financially at the age of 25.
Yeah.
More independent. Not dependent on you at all anymore.
Yeah.
And he's doing well. He's not doing anything illegal or immoral or unethical. He actually have a well-run business.
No, like, I honestly, like, when I think in true stuff for, like, my son earning, like, we saving up for, like, either education or whatever, but, like, if he decide that he want to do something else and he want to take that money from education and start off his own business,
right?
Like, we cool with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, like, it's all about, like, what makes him happy and what he wants to do and if he can be successful at it. Well, yeah,
for sure. I don't think the generation before saw that.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's where we are right now. We have these children, like this young man in that video.
Yeah.
Who in that generation.
Right.
Who unfortunately either fail.
Yeah.
Or you're bigger than becoming your engineer, doctor, lawyer.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that our generation will perceive it differently.
I think so.
And you'll see different.
I think so.
You'll see different skill sets coming out of the youth to come from our generation.
Yeah, because we see a lot of people who like probably like come from affluent families now who going into agriculture.
Yeah.
And because they're seeing like, well, all right, this is where the money is.
Yeah.
So like, I think like when that happens and like regular people now will take note and be like, well, hey, let me just people in going into agriculture. Maybe agriculture is a thing now. And that's like how things happen now. Because it's like, you're always looking to see, well, hey, who are the prominent people and what they're getting into and, like, what are the, like, sexy areas that people are getting into? Because it's all about, like, fitting into, like, the societal norms and being able to brag about certain things. So, but, like, some jobs are just seen as, like, it's not brag-worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's the reason behind that? Like, why is it so desirable to be a doctor or lawyer?
Engineer? I don't know.
Is it because... All right, one is sound good, but does it sound good because there's usually a lot of financial compensation associated with these professions? Or let's say, traditionally associated with these professions?
Yeah. But as the years go on from here, where we have so much unemployed doctors and lawyers, that prestige will fall off.
I mean, like, the ladies are not used to growing the doctors and because they supposedly have a certain money too.
Well,
it was like a normal scene.
Yeah, but then, I mean, now you wouldn't see ladies going around the doctors who don't have their jobs. You know? They'll go with the contractors
the contractors.
Who do the stuff.
Right.
Who do the stuff that they wanted, wanted to do.
It don't take much to build a box trade, you know? I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you ask.
I'm pretty sure I can Google it. Hold on, who are you going to ask?
If you ask the government of Trinidad, we go.
I was going to ask
regardless of which party.
I was
going to
ask my partner.
Of course, 20 million.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask my partner who, he could advise more.
He'll give you the real.
Yeah, probably most efficient way to build a box trade.
Yeah.
Cost effectively. And
well, he is an expert on box, so probably know.
He does know a lot about box.
Yeah.
And drilling a box.
Yeah. Why? Wow.
Wow.
That sound like something that requires medical attention.
That sound like one of your other partners.
And in case he is listening, Yes, we're talking about you, Dota, and Beth.
Wait, I think that's sell out, man.
Wow. Wow.
Wait.
That make sure we at least have one listener.
Yep.